Hi, my name is Blythe Alberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss. Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us. First thing I've got to say is, that's the Grilled Lincolns in the background that you hear. I saw the Grilled Lincolns for the first time live this weekend. They, Ray, you're so right. They are absolutely
awesome.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Every single one of them.
Yeah, I know. They're extremely talented. Every one of the members in the band actually does either rap or sing.
Oh, you know what? I got a sample of everything. It was great. I listened to them until they were done playing. They were fantastic.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed them.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. And by the way, you guys can get the Grilled Lincolns. They have 2 albums out right now. They got a 3rd one on the way. You can go to iTunes or Rhapsody. Both of them have the Grilled Lincolns on there. So there you go, guys. There's a bump for you guys. They really are really very good. So check them out if you guys get a chance.
Yep. So we've got a great topic tonight, and this is one that you came up with, and I love, can I say the title or do you want to, or do you want to throw it out there? Okay. Aerobic exercise on trial. We are going to put aerobic exercise and its background to the test.
As it pertains to fat loss.
Yes. As it pertains to fat loss. That's the key right here.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we're talking about cardiovascular health, heart health, that's a completely different story. Again, the science does not support standard steady state aerobic activity as a means of preventing cardiovascular disease, but that's a topic for a whole nother day. Today, it's about how aerobic activity impacts fat loss or weight loss.
Yes.
And, you know, this show is really about, well, at least today's show. I mean, oftentimes we're telling you guys or giving you guys recommendations or guidance or coaching about what you should do. But today, it's about what not to do, because I think, because aerobic activity is so built into our brains as the foundation of fat loss, it takes a lot to kind of pull that out, and that's
it
what
really
we
doesn't.
Do.
Yeah, hearing something else almost doesn't resonate, even to people who actually know that resistance training does work and promote fat loss. Still, what's the first thing you do when you walk into the gym?
Yeah, most people just hop on the treadmill, right?
Okay, well, I usually do. I warm up.
I do too.
Yeah, that's like the default exercise. If you go in without a plan, which we're always telling people to come up with a plan, go in with a plan. You go in without a plan, what do? Cardio.
Yep, aerobic activity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we're talking about aerobic activity, what we're really talking about is hopping on a treadmill or a stepper or an elliptical machine and doing steady state activity, which is really just keeping pretty much the same pace the whole way through. Usually it's going for 20 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people do longer time periods than even an hour.
Right.
But the goal is to burn calories. And that, again, goes back to this law of thermodynamics. It suggests that calories in minus calories out will determine whether or not you lose weight, gain weight, or stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
And we already debunked the law of thermodynamics before in a previous podcast. But guys, how many of you guys who are listening right now do aerobic activity as the foundation of your program?
If you're somebody who raises your hand right now and says, I am the cardio person, or I keep saying cardio because I don't really mean cardio. I mean aerobic activity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between exercising your heart and pushing your heart to the point where you're improving your cardiovascular health, as opposed to getting on the treadmill just trying to burn calories.
Right, very much so. So if you raised your hand, yes to that. And some of you guys are jogging right now while you're listening to us. I'm not so worried about that. I'm not telling you guys not to do this. If you enjoy doing aerobic activity or it has worked for you as a means of losing fat, then by all means, continue it. Do it because you enjoy it. Don't do it necessarily because it's the foundation of your fat loss. That's the message today, is that if you have been running the treadmill, trying to lose weight, stepping on the scale, not seeing the scale move.
Right. And you're wondering what's wrong with your program.
And what do? You go back to the gym then the following week and you jump right back on the treadmill. And then you run for another couple weeks. You step on the scale. It doesn't move. And you just keep repeating this pattern, guys.
Right.
Eventually, you've got to sit down and ask yourself, you know, how is this working for me?
Right.
And if you're following our first rule, which is always have a system for monitoring your results, you should be seeing that, hey, this isn't working for me, so let me try something else.
Right. I totally agree. You've got to reassess your program on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully today, for the majority of the population, you know, it's our belief, in case you haven't figured it out already, it's our belief that aerobic activity really, it should not comprise a huge percentage of the exercise that you do on a daily basis.
Right. I think you should be fit enough to do aerobic activity,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you can make it through your workouts of pushing yourself and having a progressive resistance training program.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, like you said, it shouldn't be the base of your program.
Right. And we'll talk in an upcoming podcast about what are some alternatives to standard steady state aerobic activity
okay.
for weight loss. But for now, today's show is just trying to get it into your brains out there that this is not the way to go when it comes to fat loss, at least not for the majority of the population. Now, I know out of the hundreds of thousands of people who are listening to this podcast that some of you guys are like shaking your head saying, no, but that's worked for me. I've successfully lost weight by getting on an aerobic program. Well, great. You're probably the exception, not the rule, because we've worked with hundreds of people mm-hmm. who do aerobic activity, and it just doesn't seem to be working.
On the flip side of that coin is I get people in the gym that will come up to me where I work, and they'll say, you know, I'm doing this, and it's just not working. It worked for me when I was 20. Well, maybe it's because you've been doing it since you were 20.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not working for you because your body's completely adapted to what you're doing, so it's time to make a change up the program.
Right. And, you know, as you know, most of the authorities, the quote-unquote authorities out there, especially the government authorities on health, are, you know, suggesting that this is the way to go. The Surgeon General now suggests, I think it's an hour of aerobic activity a day mm-hmm. in order to lose weight.
Right.
I think they say half an hour to maintain weight. I think it's something like that. I think that's the guidelines. But the reason they say that is not based on any good hard science. The reason they say now an hour instead of 20 minutes is because 20 minutes didn't work. So they say, well, maybe we just got to do more.
Okay, we'll
so
just bump it up. Right. They're thinking along the same lines as everybody
right.
else. Well, if I just do it harder, more, for longer, it's going to work.
Right. But as you guys know, it's not our style just to say, okay, well, just believe us. Just do it because we say it's true. We always like to support what we're saying with good scientific evidence, right?
Which I love that we have some to back this up. We've got some cool studies.
I'd love you to show me some research that actually supports the use of aerobic activity to lose weight. There really
that might be an interesting one, but could we come up with like a whole conversation about that?
We are.
Oh, no. The other way around. I mean, to support aerobic activity. To support aerobic activity, saying, oh, yeah, that works for everybody. I don't think there's much research out there
No. No, there
is. That's what I'm saying. We couldn't do a podcast on that. We're doing a podcast on debunking that myth.
That's right. So let's go ahead. We're going to keep these pretty short because I don't want to bore you guys with the nitpicky details. But, you know, we'll start. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start by looking at some of the shorter term studies first, and then we'll just kind of progress it up the ladder, all the way up to studies that looked at 6 months or a year of aerobic activity, okay? So the first one I'm going to talk about was published in the International Journal of Obesity back in 1987. So this is not new stuff, okay. Right? It was a simple study, two groups, diet only versus diet plus 4 hours of weekly moderate aerobic activity. Now, when we say moderate aerobic activity, typically we're talking about between 60 and 80% of your maximum heart rate, right? So at the end of this 8-week study,
okay.
The results basically came out that there was no significant weight loss above and beyond what happened with the diet-only group. So the two groups, one exercised 4 hours a week for 8 straight weeks.
Mm-hmm.
In
while
addition
their diet
to the
was
same
being monitored.
Diet,
okay.
Right? And both groups lost about the same amount of weight. So basically, in a nutshell, exercise had no impact on weight loss during the study.
So 4 hours of aerobic activity a week. Yep. Okay.
So we can go to the next one. Mm-hmm. International Journal of Sports Nutrition. This is 1998. Two groups, again, diet only versus diet with 45 minutes of moderate activity. That was, in this study, it was 78% of the maximum heart rate, 5 days a week for 12 weeks. Again, the results were the same. Both groups lost the same amount of weight, meaning
wow.
that, man, could you imagine going through 12 weeks a 12-week study where you had to exercise for 45 minutes of pretty hard, steady-state aerobic 78%, activity.
I think that's cool that they put in the 78% of your maximum heart rate, because they were monitoring people while they were truly doing moderate activity, sure, rather than somebody saying, oh, yeah, I was out there doing moderate activity. And right, then there's kind of room for error there.
Mm-hmm. And the other good point is that they are dieting people here, yes, as well. So, you know, the diet, it should be similar between the two groups. But the only difference here is the exercise that's being added. But can you imagine going through a 12-week study,
no,
having to exercise 45 minutes, 5 days a week for 12 weeks, and then seeing that there was no benefit to that?
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
You know, it's like a wasted, you know, how many hours? Somebody out there, grab a calculator, find out how many hours that is worth of exercise. And then, you know, email us.
You know what? That's really disheartening, though.
It gets worse. It gets worse.
Okay, keep going.
So we go to the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. This was 2007, a more recent study. This study went for 6 months, Blythe. And it was 6 months. Now, this study, I believe, was only adding aerobic activity on while monitoring their normal daily diet. So these are people that weren't losing or gaining weight. Their diet was about the same.
Okay.
But they decided, okay, if diet is kept stable and we just add exercise to one group, we should see significant weight loss because, again, we're increasing the amount of calories lost, even though we're maintaining the calories that are coming in at the same rate. So 6 months go by. 6 months of the study, 50 minutes of aerobic activity, 5 days per week for 6 straight months. And again, no weight loss seen at the end of the study.
That's a lot of time, Stint.
A lot of time.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm a believer. Keep going.
Well, there's one more study we're going to talk about. And again, these are only a small sampling of the research that's been right, done to date. I'm not going to go through all the rest of them. There were review studies which kind of pulled all the data together and came up with the same finding. But this last study was a one-year-long study. Again, it was similar to the six-month study where diet was kept stable, but they exercised, and this time they went 6 hours per week.
For an entire year?
For an entire year.
That's 312 hours.
312 hours.
Of your life in a year.
Right.
Okay.
But good news is the exercise group did lose weight this time.
Oh, okay. And they probably felt good.
Yeah. Right? But you know how much weight they lost?
How much?
3.5 pounds for an entire year of their lives. Okay. So you said 312 hours mm-hmm. worth of exercise.
Aerobic activity.
Hitting the treadmill.
Mm-hmm. 6 days a week.
6 days a week, an hour a day. It was the average. Men did a little bit more, did about 6 hours. Women did about 5 hours. But
okay,
it averaged out to be about 6 hours per day per subject. So they lost 3.5 pounds total throughout the whole 365-day study. So that amounts to about 0.3 pounds per month.
Okay.
You know, at 6 hours per week
okay,
worth of exercise. To me,
that's really disheartening. Yeah.
Can you imagine going through a full year study on weight loss, expecting to see some positive change, and after a year of all that effort, only seeing 3.5 pounds loss? It's crazy.
No. Because if I just tried, I could probably fluctuate 3.5 pounds
exactly,
one way or the other. You know what I mean? If I just put in a little extra effort today, and it wouldn't be aerobic activity.
Yeah. I mean, totally. So, you know, the point is, when all's said and done, when you look at the data, you don't even have to look at the data because most of us have done this. I know I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've been guilty of doing aerobic exercise.
Sure, me too. Mm-hmm.
For long periods of time and not seeing results and continuing to do it because in my brain I was always kind of churning this or hearing this information from all these government and quote-unquote health experts suggesting that aerobic activity is the way to lose weight.
Sure, and most people's health practitioners will tell them, oh, you need to go walk on a – they always say walk on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom listens to that. Walk
yeah,
on a treadmill 30 minutes, 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same prescription for everybody.
It is.
You know, it's the bottom of the line, guys. You got to go beyond just what you hear in a commercial or what your doctor is telling you.
Absolutely. So, you know, that's the science component or the research component of today's show. So why don't we just kind of wax philosophical about why aerobic activity may not actually result in any kind of positive change. So, first of all, before we do that, let's also debunk this concept of the fat burning zone.
Okay.
Okay. Because we know that if you work at lower intensities, mm-hmm. you actually burn a higher percentage of fat. You know, for instance, let's say if you're walking mm-hmm. versus if you're running.
Okay.
When you're running, you're burning a higher percentage of carbohydrates.
Calories. Okay.
Yeah, and a lower percentage of fat, because okay. the higher the intensity, the more sugar is going to be used for fuel.
Okay. I threw calories out there. I thought that's what you were going for.
Well, but we are going ultimately. Okay. We're going there. So, you know, we have these gurus come out and say, well, if you work at a lower rate for a longer period of time, you're going to burn more fat because you're going to burn a higher percentage of fat calories.
Okay. For a longer period of time, mm-hmm. going slower. Okay.
Right. So what's wrong with that philosophy?
What's going to happen is you're going to burn more total calories doing the more intense exercise. So
right.
if you look at the percentage of fat calories burned, that's going to be higher too.
Yeah, the actual number of fat calories burned will be higher,
right.
even though the percentage
right.
may be less.
Gotcha.
You know,
gotcha. So the number of calories is greater. Calories
right.
burned. Great.
Total calories burned, carb calories burned, and fat calories
mm-hmm.
burned.
Okay.
And you guys can see ultimately where we're going with this, which is in the future podcast, we're going to talk more about higher intensity activities like high intensity interval training,
mm-hmm.
for one. We're going to talk about resistance training
yeah.
you know, as the core for fat loss. But that's just giving away some of the future shows. But
it's just getting you guys excited for more.
Yeah, you guys knew where we were going with this anyway. So, okay. So the fat burning zone, guys, you know, forget about it. Not as it pertains to fat loss. You know, I will say this, that when you're working in this quote unquote fat burning zone, it's, you know, exercise is more pleasant. So, you know, when you're walking, it has a tendency to be more pleasant, or activity has a tendency to be more pleasant mm-hmm. than when you're running hard, right?
Right.
So if you're doing it for pleasure, if you're doing it for a de-stressor, if you're doing it to get some thinking
yeah.
time and just to, you know, burn a few extra calories and be a healthier person, then by all means, please do it.
Right.
I do it.
Yeah,
you know.
we're not discouraging exercise.
No, or activity.
All. Or activity.
You know, I walk all day long. I mean, a lot of you guys already know that I have a treadmill desk, which means I'm walking 2 miles per hour all day long, you know, six to 10 hours a day sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it, you know, not just to burn calories, but just to kind of keep the enzymes in my body kicking. And so that kind of brings us to the next point, which is, what's the difference between activity and exercise?
Activity, I would define as what you do on a day-to-day basis. I have a client who came in and saw me today. Her name mm-hmm. is Melissa, and she's a nurse. And she works 3 12-hour shifts a day.
Mm.
And she was telling me how taxing this is on her body, not just being at work for 12 hours a day, but she feels like she's burning major calories. She's sweating
mm-hmm.
all day long, you know, like her body is in this fuel burning mode, and she really doesn't get much of a break to refuel it. And she put it, you know, as we are taking care of patients all day, nobody's taking care of us. So
right.
they have to take care of themselves. And of course it's against health standards and whatnot to have water and food in that area. So especially bedside, you're not allowed to have it. So she was having a hard time, you know, getting her food and water in. So we talked about that today. But activity for her is going patient to patient, walking around the hospital, what you do all day, every day.
Right.
If you load a ship, you know, like cargo onto a ship every day, your activity level is much higher than somebody, say, who works at an office desk. You know,
right.
if you work at a daycare and you're chasing kids around all day, you're burning a heck of a lot more calories. However, I think your body adapts to that activity, especially when you've been doing it for a while.
Right. And it adapts in a different way than exercise would. You know, exercise, let's just really simplify it to say that exercise to me, as it pertains to weight loss, is really what we do in an attempt to counteract our sedentary lifestyle.
Yes.
So we go into a gym to work hard for a short period of time
mm-hmm.
in order to make up for the lack of activity that we have throughout the day
okay.
that we would normally have if we were cave people roaming around finding our food, you know, playing.
Mm-hmm. So we're like trying to make up.
Exactly. We're trying to make up for the efficiencies
the
of life.
Yes, the efficiencies. That's a perfect way to
right.
put it.
So you have somebody like your client here, Melissa, who is a nurse, and nurses commonly have this problem. I mean, when you're actually, when I've rounded in hospitals and I've known a lot of nurses, they have a tendency to be heavier, even though they're more active
yeah.
than the average person would be in a sedentary setting.
Mm-hmm.
because they're moving around. They're going patient to patient. They're not seated at a desk all day long. But they're still putting on extra weight. And there's a couple reasons why that happens. And I think this is a good discussion for a lot of you guys out there who have jobs that are, are sedentary, where you're seated a lot, and even jobs where you are active, but you still can't seem to lose the weight. Mm-hmm. Because in her setting, she's in a constantly stressed state.
Yeah.
You know, and that changes the chemistry of the body. Mm-hmm. So if you're working in a setting where you're active and you don't know why you're not losing weight, it's probably because, number one, you're in a stress state. You have a tendency to eat more. And I know that that in those settings, people have a tendency to grab whatever's in the cafeteria, whatever's in the snack machines.
Right, because you've got a quick half an hour and and you've got to feed your face at that time. Yeah,
and so they really do counteract any kind of caloric burn that they get from the activities they're doing just from all of the food that they're eating throughout the day.
Okay.
And it oftentimes is shoveling in things twice a day rather than spreading things throughout the day, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, activity. Activity is really things you do just because you have to move, you know, like you have to go to the fax machine or you have to, you know, pick up the trash or you have to do the dishes. You know, that's activity. That's just everyday activity. And the more of that movement that you get that's not in an exercise setting, the better off I think the body is. You know, one key factor, one key difference between exercise and activity is that exercise induces a chemical change in the body. The body adapts to exercise. The body doesn't necessarily adapt to activity per se.
Okay.
So when you, for instance, when you run on a treadmill, there is a hormonal response that happens that doesn't happen when you're, say, walking from the car to the mall or walking the mall.
Okay, totally makes sense.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of takes us on to our next discussion about why is it that aerobic activity might not work, or we know does not work, for weight loss.
Okay,
so let's break that down.
Yeah. Number one, this is something we mentioned in the last podcast, and I thought it was a great analogy. Fat mice don't move.
They don't.
Yeah. And this is there's no like trickery here or anything crazy happening. There's a fat mouse. Tell us about the study just quickly again.
Well, I mean, this is just an observation in the scientific setting when we're looking at overweight mice. Overweight mice, they don't move. They just basically sit there. You know, when
wait
you compare
for more food.
Right. They wait for more food. When you compare it to a mouse that's in the same cage, that's a skinny mouse, they're running all over the place. They're acting like a mouse should act. They're looking for food. They're looking for someone to mate with. They're looking for, you know, something else to do, run on a wheel or do anything.
Right.
But the overweight mice just sit there. And, you know, mice don't know that they need to move. They don't know that they need to be active. The only reason a mouse would be very active, it would be if there are subconscious processes or chemistry in the body that is convincing the brain that movement is beneficial for their survival. So what happens is most of what happens with weight loss and with weight gaining is it's subconscious. It all happens beneath the surface. We think that we're in control of our lives when it comes to diet and exercise and activity. But the truth is we're not in control of our lives. A fit person, when they consume a large meal, will fidget more than an overweight person who eats that same meal. They fidget. They just move spontaneously. They actually call it spontaneous movement. They get up from their chair. They walk more, and they do it all subconsciously. They're not thinking about it. They're not thinking, oh, I should get up and walk because it's healthy for me. Mm-hmm. Their bodies just do it. They just move more at a subconscious level because the body's trying to get rid of some of that extra energy that it just took in.
Okay.
That's the way a healthy body responds.
And is that hormonally healthy, imbalance healthy?
It's what we call homeostasis. When the body's in good, perfect homeostasis, it wants to maintain its weight, right? It wants to maintain its weight at a healthy weight.
Yes.
And so when
I think it's always fighting to get there.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And everything, even when we're looking at diseases, is your body's way of trying to get back to that promised land, right? Yeah. You know, things like osteoporosis, heart disease. You know, heart disease occurs because a small crack occurs in the artery or the blood vessel. And what is the body trying to do? Well, it's trying to get it back to a stability. So it sends in the biological band-aid called cholesterol to kind of patch up that crack. Mm-hmm. Osteoporosis, the bones are eroding away because the body's trying to maintain its pH. Mm-hmm. And when the body's too acidic, that calcium comes out of the bones to neutralize the acid in the blood and keep that pH normal. Otherwise, the heart could go into arrhythmia. Yeah. So all this stuff that's happened, whether it's disease or whether it's
weight gain, yeah,
it's the body trying to get back into balance.
Okay.
And it's most noted or notable when it comes to weight, because there comes a point when the homeostasis patterns actually start to promote the weight gain.
Okay.
You know, and it's because the body's so biochemically out of whack that there, you know, it kind of propagates its own disease, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
So we got off on a tangent there.
Yeah, but I love, you could just keep talking. I love learning about all that.
Let's talk about why aerobic activity doesn't work. These are some of the hypotheses as to why the aerobic activity doesn't seem to promote weight loss. Number one, the body conserves the energy source that's in demand. All right, so what does that mean? If you're burning fat, let's say you're working for an hour in the quote-unquote fat-burning zone, and you're basically triggering the fat-burning enzymes. What the body does is the body wants to conserve the energy source that was used during exercise and higher intensity activity, meaning non-like everyday movement.
Right. Okay.
So what it does is it says, okay, we burned fat during this exercise, during this workout, so we've got to replace that fat. So what it does is the body kicks up, after the exercise is done, the body kicks up the sugar burning enzymes, mm-hmm, and kicks up the fat storing enzymes because it's trying to replace what was used in the previous exercise.
Totally makes sense.
Yes. Number two, the body promotes production of enzymes that promote energy storage. And again, what type of energy is being stored is the energy that was used in the previous exercise. So okay. It's really trying to prevent the loss of fat while after the exercise is done, and then it's trying to promote more storage.
Okay.
And then the third, aerobic activity, and when we're talking about aerobic activity, we're talking about long bouts of aerobic activity. It's not uncommon for people to work out on a treadmill or elliptical for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. When you do that, it promotes cortisol, and cortisol does a few things. Number one, it promotes muscle loss.
Is that like a stressor hormone?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Cortisol is the key stress hormone.
Okay.
Actually, there's a few stress hormones that occur. When you're being chased from a lion, which is what you're mimicking when you're running on a treadmill, mm-hmm, you're mimicking being chased by a lion and trying to run away from that danger. Otherwise, the body really doesn't have any reason to be running, does it?
Right.
You know, if we were out in the bush, we wouldn't spontaneously go for a 40-minute run just
unless
for the heck
you were
of it.
Really fit and frisky.
Yeah, and even then they wouldn't do it because it would go
you have
against
to conserve, right.
Right. The conservation concept.
Yeah.
So the body thinks you're being chased by a lion. So it kicks out a number of hormones. It kicks out adrenaline to kind of give a burst of energy to kind of access the sugar in the muscles. And then it kicks out cortisol in order to access the fat cells. Short term elevations in cortisol level promote fat burning, but long term cortisol elevations promote fat storage. So what we're talking about is that immediate burst of cortisol.
Okay. Instantaneously.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So long bouts of aerobic activity then.
What happens is the adrenaline system falls off. So you're running, your body decreases its production, mm-hmm, of adrenaline because, you know what? The adrenaline's there for that immediate burst, right?
Okay.
It's designed to just get you away from the lion so that you can hide. And that's usually only minutes, right?
Sure.
And so what ends up happening is the cortisol levels remain elevated, the adrenaline levels drop. So you end up promoting more cortisol. It ends up breaking down the protein in the muscles, mm-hmm, in order to feed the sugar. What's the body trying to do? It's trying to get the sugar back in
right.
the muscles.
Right.
Okay. So I'm boring you guys, right?
Well, no, but that's kind of like – it's kind of like comparing like a Ferrari versus a Prius.
Right. This is what happens with aerobic activity.
Right. Which one burns more fuel?
It's the Ferrari.
Right.
But when we're training the body in aerobic activity, what are we making?
A Prius.
Right. We're turning our body into a Prius.
Yeah.
We're making it more efficient at burning fat during the activity, which means you burn less and less fat as you get more and more fit.
Mm-hmm.
because
totally makes sense why people plateau, why people do the same thing and it doesn't work any longer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what we want to do is we want to turn our bodies, when we're talking about fat loss, we want to turn our bodies into Ferraris. We want them to be less efficient at using energy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we want the body to waste energy basically whenever possible because we're trying to burn the fat away. So unfortunately, aerobic activity does the opposite. It makes us into a Prius rather than a Ferrari. So,
okay. So I do know that long-term aerobic activity can lower growth hormone and testosterone, which is actually the opposite when you do resistance training,
and
right?
And interval training as well.
And HIIT training,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's another factor that may play into why it doesn't work. And then aerobic activity may promote a rebound appetite.
Mm.
You know, we talked about how in overweight mice, what ends up happening is, well, when you're starving yourself, what does the body do? It kicks down metabolism to account for that.
Slows everything down.
What we believe is the same thing happens with exercise. When we do aerobic activity for long periods of time, the body responds by kicking down metabolism in order to account for that energy that was lost. Mm-hmm. So let's say you burn 500 calories in a setting, in a session of aerobic activity. What could possibly be happening is the body's kicking down metabolism just a smidgen, but that smidgen is occurring over a 24-hour period.
Right.
So you may, instead of burning 500 calories, by the 24 hours end, you may have only burned 100.
Because you're probably eating the same. Right.
Right. Or increasing appetite, so you may be eating even more.
Okay, yeah.
So you see where things are going awry here?
Yeah.
So, guys, that's the discussion on aerobic activity. I'm hoping that we convinced you. I'm hoping I didn't bore you guys with the details, but
I think that's a lot of good information. I think that this watching your long-duration aerobic activity will resonate with some of our listeners after this.
I hope so. If you're running the treadmill while you're listening to us, I don't want you to stop if you're enjoying yourself, because there's a benefit to that.
It depends on what your objective is. If your objective is weight loss, look into interval training.
Uh-huh. Look into resistance training. We're going to talk about that in the future, but for now, I think that's enough.
Don't forget to look for our page on Facebook. Mm-hmm. www.cutthefatpodcast.com is our website. We actually have a Facebook and a Twitter link on there if you guys have been looking for us. Or just search for us on Facebook, Cut the Fat Podcast.
All one word.
All one word. And up we pop. And you can like our page if you want. You'll get updates of some motivational quotes that we have on there. You'll get to read some questions from other people, other Facebookers who have been posting up questions. We've got a discussion board with some cool questions and just different suggestions from other people. I think it's really neat that people are conversing and kind of throwing their own ideas out there.
Right. We also, you can go to iTunes, and if you would, please rate us on there, because the more ratings we get, the higher we move on the iTunes. Now, we're number 3 right now.
We're third in the world right now, FYI.
But we want to be number 1. So,
we do.
You know, if you guys could, you know, tell your friends, the way iTunes kind of grades the podcast is by how many people are subscribing to the podcast on a regular basis. So, you know, if you can subscribe through iTunes, tell your friends to subscribe through iTunes. Even if they don't listen to it, it helps us kind of, it helps us kind of move up in that rating. Right.
Or you can subscribe your friends and then give them the iPod. Hey, I did that.
Hey, you know, it's a little shady to me, but what the heck?
Trying to help a friend out. Come on, give him some free nutritional advice.
So iTunes, guys, go on there, rate us, and, you know, tell your friends. Send the Facebook link to all your friends as well so that they sign up there, too. I think that's it. Again,
that's a wrap.
We're going to leave you guys with the Grilled Lincolns. Huge fans. Blythe is now a
I am a new huge fan. Oh, my gosh. I have stars in my eyes. It was so great. I loved it. Every single song. And I didn't know the words to any of them, but I loved every single song.
Great. You know, and I know Angela, Riddy's girlfriend, is a listener of our podcast.
She is a listener.
So.
Her and her sisters, actually.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
you guys, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Bye, guys.
Forget your shoes, just wear your flip-flops in the snow. It's hard to really